You'll take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. When you find your place, if you're able to stand, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. It's titled, Be Ye Kind, Tender-Hearted, Forgiving One Another. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful. Thankful that we can always go to Jesus. No matter what's going on, we can always go to Jesus. And he's ready and willing to hear from us. He's ready and willing to be that comfort for us, that help, that healing hand that we need. Father, we thank you for this message this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to be able to preach this. And I pray, Father, that you would touch the hearts of each one of us, that you'd speak to us personally, that we'd have ears to hear, and that we'd not just be hearers of this, but we would be doers, that we would apply these truths to our lives, that you would be glorified, that many lives would be touched, that people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you know that we can all be good at something if we take the time to practice? If we take the time to practice. We practice enough. What's the old saying? Practice makes perfect. I know that years ago, Mrs. Tung tried to teach me the piano, and she was doing fairly well. I was getting the more I did it. But then they moved to Texas, and I was no longer doing weekly stuff with her, and I got away from it and haven't done it, and I'm not even sure I could do anything on the piano right now because it's been so many years now. But she said, if you practice, you'll be good at it. Guess I should have kept it up maybe, huh? But, you know, life gets busy and so many things are happening and you just don't do everything that you want to do. But sometimes you don't have time for everything you want to do, but you got time for the things you have to do, right? The Washington Associated Press reported after months of growing military pressure on Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, President Donald Trump ordered a brazen operation into the South American country to capture its leader and whisk him to the United States, where his administration planned to put him on trial. The military leaders tell us this capture will go down into history as a flawless undertaking. They also will tell us, before they ever undertook this endeavor, for months and months the military have practiced every detail over and over again. Practice makes perfect. I use that because this is just something that recently happened that proves that if you practice and practice and practice, you can get better at stuff. A lot of people could do a lot of things if they would just take the time to practice. Some, if they practice for many hours a day, could be a great pianist. As I mentioned, that I practiced, I wouldn't be great at it, I'm sure, but I would have been better than I am today, right? I'm sure you guys have heard of Michael Jordan. While people were in the stands cheering and all, Michael Jordan had a basketball in his hands. He was shooting hoops. He practiced and practiced and practiced, and he became quite the basketball player. I think of John Wayne. Every time I think of John Wayne, I think of Brother Mike Riggin. Brother Mike Riggin loved the John Wayne movies and all. But John Wayne, he was a great actor. He would practice his scenes over and over and over until he got them down. He didn't just wing it. He practiced and practiced and practiced, and he became a wonderful actor. We become good at what we practice. I think some people, I'm thinking some of the greatest singers of the gospel hymns, right, have probably not been discovered because they haven't practiced and practiced and practiced. Some of the greatest physicians that we could have are not as great in their field because they haven't practiced and practiced and practiced. And I joke sometimes, I say, they haven't got it right because they're still practicing. But let's face it, you know, with everything going on, my sister-in-law said, do we have any idea how soon? I said, I know who does. The Lord Jesus Christ knows as soon as he's going to be taken from here. Everybody else is guessing. And then we say, well, they're just practicing, right? No, they're guessing. They don't know. Only the Lord knows when we will depart from here. I want to look at some things that we as Christians should be practicing. We should practice to be a good listener. A lot of people out there are lonely. I noticed when Dad's been at the memory care facility that there are some people that don't get visitors very often. Dad gets visitors quite frequently. I know because we're there a lot. And then he has other family that comes too. So he gets frequently visitors. But I know some of them are lonely. And when we go to see Dad, they'll come over and they'll want to be part of the conversation. When we go to his room, they want to come in the room with us and stuff. And it's hard to get that one-on-one time with Dad when they want to be part of it. But you also feel for them because you know they don't have the family there paying attention to them like Dad does. And so they're lonely. They're just lonely. Many in the world have lost a spouse because the spouse is no longer there. They're longing for that interaction with other people. So every time they come across somebody, they want a conversation. It gets lonely. I know, and I haven't experienced that, and thank God I haven't, but I remember talking to my dad. He said, you know, it gets lonely. I'm here by myself all the time. He says, until somebody stops by and sees me. And I was busy with my career and all, but I still made sure I made time 3 times minimum a week to stop and spend time with my dad. You make time for those things that are important. So you do that, knowing that it's lonely. I think it would surprise us to see how many people we come in contact with every day to find out how many of them are lonely and just need somebody to care enough to be a good listener. Just spend some time with them. I want to look at what happened to this woman that had this issue of the blood when she touched the Lord. I notice here immediately the Lord wanted to have a conversation with her. Isn't that interesting? Jesus. I mean, pretty busy schedule, don't you think? Jesus would have a busy schedule. I mean, all that Jesus did while he was here and all that he does for us, he probably had to be, and we said, but I'm just too busy. Jesus was busy, but he took time to seek out this woman to have a conversation with her. Verses 30 through 34 of our text that we read, I want you to know that our Lord is omniscient. He already knows all things. When she touched his garment, he knew exactly who it was. And he said, who touched me? Right? Who touched my clothes? I think is the exact. Who touched me? He knew who it was. He wanted a conversation with her. After she confessed that she is the one that in faith came to him, I'm thinking maybe, just perhaps, she might have told him how she went from doctor to doctor to doctor and got worse and worse and worse. And now she's out of money. I think she might have done that, but I can assure you this, whatever she told the Lord, he was willing to listen. A lot of people are good talkers, but there's not so many good listeners. We don't know what sorrow they're facing. We don't know what pain they're going through. We don't know where people are at. And yet when they don't react the way we think they should, that irritates us. We don't know what they're going through. There could be great pain and suffering that they're going through, and we need to be good listeners. Good listeners. If you're a good listener, soon you'll find out the difficulties that they're going through, the difficulties they're facing, the things that they have on their plate, so to speak. People we come into contact each and every day that need to be a good listener and just listen. Great needs out there, right? I shared a couple when Brother Franklin Humber reached out to me and told me his mom was in ICU, I immediately stopped and prayed for him. We were in the middle of the hospice situation moving Dad yesterday, and I got the text about the Moss's situation and everything going on. We stopped, and my wife and I went into the hall and prayed. People say, well, you don't have time. Yes, you do. If it's important, you'll take time. We need to do that. There's people who are out there literally starving for someone to listen to them. They have some serious problems. They have a need for someone to be a good listener and to focus in on their problems. Here the Lord took time out of his busy schedule, right? To listen to her, to talk to her, to have a conversation. And when he did, it was like she was the only one in that entire crowd. The Lord is a good listener. When we become a good listener, then we can become a good talker. And we'll know exactly what to say at the appropriate time. But it takes a lot of practice to be a good listener. Again, it's only after we have lots of practice being a good listener that we'll be qualified to be a good talker. We need to practice that. Practice being a good listener. We also need to practice being kind. Look at verses 33 and 34. It says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." The Bible tells us she was fearing and trembling. Fearing and trembling. Let me just say this. Being kind is not something that comes naturally to us. Just doesn't. I've picked on Baptists most of my life now. We kick one another when we're down instead of trying to help them up. Being kind is not something that comes naturally. We got to work on that. We got to practice being kind. I think that God gave us parents because our parents teach us to be kind. And we need to learn that. And thank God for parents. We become kind when we practice kindness over and over and over. Some people can talk kindness, but they don't practice kindness. Jesus not only talked it, but he lived it. He modeled it for us. He showed us how to be kind. He drew large crowds everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, he drew large crowds. People wonder, how does he draw such large crowds? He was willing to be a good listener. Some people can count the amount of friends they have on one hand and have leftover fingers. They wonder why. There's a lot of people because they're unkind. We just had a conversation. I'm not going to use names or anything. We just had a conversation and people are using excuses. What I'm going through in my life gives me the right to bite your head off. I'm sorry, it doesn't. I don't care what you're going through. It is not an excuse to be unkind. None whatsoever. I lost my patience the other day at Generations, and I sent a text. I didn't get a response. It wasn't that it wasn't needed, but I said, this is just one more issue. And I said, to say that I am beyond frustrated is an understatement. That was as kind as I could be at the moment. I was not happy. I said, it's probably a good thing she doesn't call me right now, because I probably would have lost my temper. We need to be kind. And I get it. And it's not easy. We need to practice it. Do you know how we could draw a large crowd here? If we went out into the world and just demonstrated kindness to people. be kind to people. Get to know them. Listen to them. And then opportunities arise. People may want to come with us to church if we've shown them some kindness. The Bible says he went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. There's some that have never won a soul to the Lord. Never. But you can. And the way to do it is find somebody that's lost. And spend some time with them. Be kind to them over and over and over again. And pretty soon, God will give you the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And because you've been kind to them, shown them kindness when others aren't, they'll be more receptive to hearing what you have to say. And more likely to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Many times, people aren't willing to do anything for you until you're willing to do something for them first. Maybe we could find somebody that needs some help. Be willing to help them. But many churches say the way to grow a church is with organization. And don't get me wrong, organization's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that we need organization. But you can be the most organized church in the entire country and not be effective. Kindness is what draws people. Kindness is what gets people's attention. I like this story of this missionary in the jungles of New Guinea. He was asked this question, "What was it like? Tell us what you found there." He said, "I found a mission field that looked more hopeless than if I had been sent into a jungle of tigers." I said, "What do you mean?" "The people there were so fierce and degraded that they seemed utterly devoid of moral sense. If a mother was carrying her little baby and the child was crying and would not stop, she would throw it into the ditch and let it die. If a man saw his own father break his leg, he would just leave him there to suffer by himself. They had no compassion whatsoever. They did not even know what the word meant." Said, "Well, what were you able to do? Did you preach to them?" Said, "No, not at first. I thought it better to show them my faith by my works. When I saw a baby crying, I picked it up and consoled it. When I saw a man with a broken leg, I sought to mend it. When I found people distressed and hungry, I took them in, comforted them, fed them. Finally, they began to ask, 'What does this mean? Why are you doing this for us?' Then I had my chance. I told them about Jesus, and many of them came to know the love of Jesus also." We do something for people. We show them kindness, and they're more receptive to hearing the truth of the gospel. I recognize there's a need for organization, but I also recognize that organization alone does not get the job done. What will get the job done is kindness. Kindness. When someone's facing surgery, a Christian would practice kindness and go visit them and pray with them. It means a great deal to them. My wife and I, before she had all her health issues, we would go. And people would say, "It's 5 o'clock in the morning. We don't care." We'd go and pray with them. We need to do that stuff, right? We need to show them that somebody cares. When someone has been told they have a terminal disease and a Christian practices kindness, it means a great deal to them. When there's a death in the family, people show kindness. It means a great deal to that family. When a person's just moved into a neighborhood, it's good if we practice kindness and go and welcome them to the neighborhood. It means a great deal to them. How about when somebody's at the store, they're loading their vehicle up, and you can see that they're struggling with something heavy. You just show some kindness and go over and offer to help them. Let me tell you, it would mean the world to them, somebody to care and show kindness. And there's all kinds of ways to practice kindness. Let me tell you, you can't lose when we practice being a good listener and being kind to people. It'll pay off over and over and over again. I promise you that God sees every act of kindness, and He will reward you for it. The Lord Jesus took time to stop in the midst of this crowd of people, and He listened and He talked to this woman that most people would not have even taken the time to bother with, certainly would not have been kind in trying to assist her. And that Jesus showed them how they should act, what they should do. He talked with her as if she was the only person on earth. He talked to her, not the crowd, He talked to her directly. He gave her personal attention. We should practice being a good listener, we should practice being kind, and we should practice being compassionate. This lady that the Lord was dealing with had an issue of blood and was a nobody as far as society was concerned. But she came before the Lord and she became somebody. We still get to preach about her and read about her in the Bible these days. She became a somebody because she had conversation with our compassionate Lord and Savior. So we just need to be compassionate to one another. The word compassion simply means that your feelings become a part of my life, and I begin to share and understand what you feel and what is going on inside of you. In John chapter 11, when the Lord arrived at the home of Mary and Martha after their brother had died, the Bible tells us Jesus wept in John chapter 11, verse 35. People say, do you have any scripture memorized? And most people immediately go to John chapter 11, 35. Jesus wept. Well, that was difficult. How about try a longer one next time? Maybe get 3 words in the verse, right? Anyway, the question we need to ask ourselves is that why did he weep? Why did he weep? Some thought it was because Lazarus had died. And I've actually heard it preached that Jesus wept because Lazarus had died. It was, folks, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead, as people try to preach. If you actually examine this passage of Scripture carefully, you'll find out he wasn't weeping for the dead, he was weeping for the living. He wept because they were weeping. Turn to John chapter 11 and verse 33. And then we're going to go to Ephesians after that, but first we'll go to John 11, 33. John 11, 33 says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Then it says, Jesus wept. Christians get our name because we are Christ-like. He was compassionate. We should also look at Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Obviously, that's where the title of the message comes from. Matthew 25:40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. We need to practice compassion. In a family torn by dissension and argument, be kind and compassionate to one another. In a business where the general rule seems to be dog eat dog, be kind and compassionate to one another. In a community and nation where one race is pitted against another, and we've seen that over the recent years, how it gets worse and worse and worse. Tolerance is derided. We need to be kind and compassionate to one another. In a world that's torn asunder, we have plenty of opportunities to practice compassion. Love is kind. We need to learn to be kind to one another. Even as God has been kind to us through Jesus Christ. And he has offered him as a sacrifice for all our sins. The things we practice, we become good at. So I'd say we need to practice on being a good listener. We need to practice on being kind. And we need to practice on being compassionate. It would make a huge difference in the world if all God's children would learn those things. And practice makes perfect. Jesus modeled it for us. We just got to follow his lead. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word. So thankful that Jesus was such a great example for us. If we just follow his lead, be more like him, to be able to take the Christian name because we are Christ-like, this would be such a much better place. We need to be good listeners. We need to be kind. We need to be compassionate. And we're only going to be able to do those things when we practice them. And we'll become good at it. Father, if there's someone in our midst who has never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. For those of us who have, I pray that we are taking this message to heart, Father. That we will practice these things. That we will go out of our way to make sure that we make these things a part of our life. Father, as we have this time of invitation, as always, we turn it to you. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.